orders of angels, said to be shining brightly, as they are the closest to God, and they are pure light, the cherubim, also called the cherub, usually portrayed as chubby children with wings, a la Cupid, and the cherubim are the second highest order, and they are pure love. The thrones. The triad of seraphim, cherubim, and thrones reside in the highest realms of heaven. Thrones are the bridge between the material and the spiritual, and they represent God's fairness and justice. Then there's the dominions, and the dominions are the highest in the next triad level of angels. They are the overseers or managers of angels according to God's will. Then there's the virtues. These angels govern the order of the physical universe, watching over the sun, moon, stars, and all the planets, including Earth, and the powers. Of course, as their name implies, this choir comprises peaceful warriors who purify the universe from lower energies and the principalities. The third triad are the angels closest to Earth, and the principalities watch over the planet, including nations and cities, to ensure God's will of peace on earth. And the archangels, and these are the overseers of humankind and the guardian angels. Each archangel has a specialty which represents an aspect of God. And of course, the guardian angels. You and every person have personal guardian angels assigned to you throughout your life. This model of nine choirs of angels was derived from the biblical references to seraphim and cherubim, which were expanded upon by the 5th century theologians' writings and then popularized in John Milton's poetic work, Paradise Lost. Since archangels are so close to earth and humankind, it's natural for us to connect with them. In fact, the Bible is filled with accounts of people interacting with Michael and Gabriel. And the archangels still interact with us in conjunction with God's will of peace. We don't pray to the archangels, nor do we worship them. All glory goes to God. We work with archangels simply because they are God's intended gift to us all and part of the divine plan for peace. So why don't we simply direct all questions and requests to God? Because the archangels are extensions of God who are easier to hear and feel during times of great stress. Their vibrations are very condensed, and so they're palpable and practically tangible. Just as looking at a sunset or a rainbow reminds us of God's love, so do the archangels. You don't need to be saintly or perfectly behaved to elicit the archangels' help. They look past all human mistakes, and they see the inner goodness within you, within us all. The archangels want to bring peace to earth by helping us all to be peaceful. So their mission includes helping the unpeaceful people of the world. As holograms of God's omnipresence, the archangels are unlimited beings. Remember the promise that Jesus made? I am with you always. Well, the archangels, like Jesus, are able to be with each person who calls upon them. The key is that the archangels will never violate your free will by intervening without permission, even if to do so would make us happier. See, the archangels must wait until you give permission in some way, such as a prayer or a cry for help or a wish or a visualization, an affirmation, or even just thinking this. The archangels really aren't concerned with how you ask for their help, but only that you do ask for their help. And you also don't need to worry about asking for the archangels' help incorrectly. You don't have to be specially trained or use fancy invocations to garner the archangel's attention. Any sincere call for aid is enough, as all they require